You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Alright, so you guys picked a your fave 80s mustache man?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, I still feel weak on this whole thing.
Okay, alright, well then...
see how it goes.
We'll see how this goes.
Okay.
Let me see. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Got that open, got that recording. Got that. All right.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Ex to each other.
Party on, dudes!
Hello, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Scott.
Hey, everybody.
And Rose.
Hi, everybody.
So what we're going to do is we're going to continue our conversation, even though the previous show was a solo show, but we were talking about the month of November, and they have this thing where they really kind of use people growing a mustache as a movement for helping to bring awareness of this great organization. And I'm glad that, Rose, you're online so you can talk about this particular, you know, episode, because this is really kind of your idea. You brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in the previous month you were talking about breast cancer awareness as an example. Mm-hmm. So this is something you've always been kind of keen into, with keeping up with, you know, what the current trending, you know, thing is regarding, you know, health-wise.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I appreciate that, because I'm glad that you brought it up, because it got me to start looking at the organization, and I'm very impressed about what they do. And on the 70s episode, I even went in to talk about a little bit about men's mental health and a little bit about suicide prevention. So thank you for bringing this up and bringing me, like, aware of this organization.
No worries.
And what I wanted to talk a little bit about on this specific episode is one of the things that they focus on is prostate cancer. And just some random facts that they post on their website is they say that prostate cancer is the second most common cancer in men in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then also 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime in the U.S. So, in my own life, I know that I've had family members that have been touched with cancer, or, you know, have passed away because of cancer, and not necessarily prostate, but just cancer in general. So I get the devastating effect, and I appreciate an organization that makes it their focus to eliminate that, or even help the life of people that are diagnosed with cancer. So it's a great thing. Definitely a great thing. But not to go too heavy yet, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be focusing on our favorite mustached pop culture man is it from the 1980s. And I found a website, people.com, where they talked about like the eight greatest mustaches of the 1980s. And I'll save that list till after we get done with our favorites so that we can talk about them. But I just don't want to deflect from somebody's pick. So that's why.
That's kind of where I got my.
Oh, you got it from that same list?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, there was other ones too, but I really didn't want to go too obvious, you know, because I could have easily done real obvious ones, but I figured that they would be taken already. So
yeah, so I'll go ahead and start. And this is something that was near and dear to my heart recently, and specifically today, but also just a catchphrase that I've been using on the podcast, which is "be excellent to each other." I got that from a movie called Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure, and then also there's Bogus Journey. But in this movie is the late great George Carlin, and Rufus is sporting a wonderful beard and mustache throughout the movie. And it is something that I listened to on one of the extra DVDs. Is that Rufus was kind of a late addition to that movie. And it was like everything was kind of a, you know, they didn't have like any main stars at that, you know, when they're putting the movie together. And then once they finally got George Carlin, it was kind of like, okay, now our movie has some credibility.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like the, yes, this is, you know, this validates us. and George Carlin just brought something to the role of Rufus, and it really centered that movie, you know, so it wasn't just a bunch of, you know, jokers running around, you know, saying dude and excellent, bodacious a lot. And not that that's not fun, but it needed something to kind of solidify it. And George Carlin, with just the way that he portrayed Rufus, it just worked. So to me, that's my favorite 1980s mustached man.
Nice.
Did either one of you want to comment on Rufus, or did you want to move on to your pick?
No, this is a great pick. I like Rufus. I love George Carlin in that movie. I think he did a good job of, in the role that he was given, you know, kind of a mediator.
Yeah.
You know, even a narrator. In the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. He gets to break the fourth wall, right? So during that movie, he gets, you know, he's like saying things to the audience, you know, they get better, you know, trust me, they get better.
Right. Right. And he's, you know what I like about his mustache and his beard? It's well kept.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The big, huge beard that people are sporting nowadays, and from like the early 70s, I was never crazy about that. I think it's just, it's too Grizzly Adams. But now, you know, with Rufus, he just looked really, it fit him well, that look. So, and then him as a comedian, he's just freaking funny. So.
he'd always seem to keep up that. Keep it manicured. Were you going to say something, Rose?
Oh, no, I was just going to, you know, comment on just George Carlin himself. He brought a lot of awareness, you know, to the world through his eyes and his humor. And it really was fitting that he was in this movie. Bill and Ted, whereas they were nice kids, weren't exactly the sharpest knives in the drawer. And he had a lot of patience with them, trying to get them to understand, look, this is your destiny. I'll be able to help you with anything you want. Just get in the phone box and let's go get this over with. But he was just like, so he was like hip and cool all at the same time. I know sometimes you can be hip, but you're not cool, and vice versa. But he managed to pull both of those off. And I think him having the beard and the mustache really brought all of that together. As you know, back in the 60s, you know, everybody was like clean, unless you were like a professor or something. Everybody's clean shaven, and you hear, you know, you go to the coffee houses and stuff, you see the beatnik guys, you know, and they're all just like, cool daddy-o. You got the dark glasses and the beards and the mustaches and all that. But he wasn't pretentious like that. He was just very to the point, very professional. And it worked, you know, and I think, you know, he was, they didn't always follow his direction, but he was definitely the direction that they needed. So, and I, that was a really good pick.
Cool. So, Rose, you want to go next?
I can. Chose the road less traveled. And only because I have a fondness in my heart for senior citizens. And Wilford Brimley was quite a prominent senior actor in the 80s. He had a lot going on. And he was one of those down-to-earth kind of let's sit on a porch and have a chat kind of a person. But his mustache was just like, I don't know, wasn't, he didn't have a grandpa, he kind of had a grandpa look, but really not. You know, I don't know a whole lot of grandpas that sport one of those massive, you know, mustaches like he had. And it was gray, or white actually, which was awesome. Because you know if he would have had a beard going with that, it'd been like, oh, look, it's Santa Claus. But I really liked how the 80s, you know, like kind of captured older actors and really kind of pushed them towards the limelight. It's just like everybody was all into like young and attractive and hot and glamorous and all this stuff. And, you know, and he, I'm going to say he didn't, you know, represent any of those, but senior actors, like senior citizens, you know, in general, they're always like taking a back seat to everything that's popular. But the 80s proved that you could be older. Because, you know, and popular, and it just goes to show you how many movies, you know, he did. You know, he started in 1980 with Brubaker, actually Amber Waves. You know, he was in The Electric Horseman, like, in the 70s. And he was in TV movies, and he was in TV shows, and he was in Absence of Malice with Paul Newman, Death Valley, The Thing. He played Dr. Blair in The Thing.
Yeah.
End of Midnight with Charles Bronson. That's one of my favorites. He was in The Firm, The Natural. And he was also in Cocoon, which is just like a whole movie about a bunch of old people that had kind of given up on life. And then aliens came to save them, which was cool. Because I kind of hope that happens when I'm 80. Save me and take me away. But yeah, so he's, you know, for an old dude, you know, he had it going on. Very, very stylish. And even though, you know, he had the cowboy hat and everything, I can't remember when he was, where he was from originally. Ah, Salt Lake City, Utah. See, there you go. Cowboy hat. But I could have easily said, you know, Lionel Richie or, you know, John Oates from Hall & Oates. But, you know, I just wanted to give credit where credit was due. You know, I'm sure he's been sporting that. I didn't even look back in further pictures previously. But it's a good look for him, and he was a good look for the 80s.
I can't remember a movie without his mustache, without him having a mustache.
See? There you go.
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't have recognized him.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to go back and look at some of the like still shots from movies from some of his earlier stuff.
Yeah. Probably.
Cool. Hey, side note, speaking of the thing,
he did not have a mustache in the thing.
Oh, he didn't have a mustache
really?
In the thing.
Really?
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Awesome movie.
Yeah, it's a little fresh in my mind.
You're going to have to give us a rundown of your take on the thing very soon.
Yeah, actually, I've got a blog post ready to go.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's drafted. God. All I got to do is hit publish.
Come on, publish it, baby. I got to read that thing. I want to know what you say. I got to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
So, is there anything else you had on Wilford Brimley, Scott?
No, I he's a good actor. I like him. He's always had that look. And he's obviously been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think everybody thinks back to probably his most noted is from Cocoon. You know, everybody remembers from there because he was a pretty heavy player in that movie. So, you know, no, it's a good pick. Very good. I wasn't expecting it until you said you were going till Rose, you said you were going a little, or you were doing it for, cause he's older or something. What did you say?
Yeah. Kind of give props to the senior citizen.
Oh, that's what it was. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's yeah. I kind of knew where you were going with it after, when you said yeah. that. But that's good.
Yeah.
So
his look, I can't think of a better spokesperson for Quaker Oats. because of everything, because of the actor that he is and the characters he portrays, and because he is, after all, the Quaker Oats dude, I'm so glad there's no, like, drama that's come up, you know, from his, his past. Like, he's had, he's not one of those guys that's had that kind of thing in his past that's kind of come up and surfaced, and everybody's like, you know, oh my God, I can't believe I like this guy anymore. You know, as far as I know, there's nothing like that. There's no skeletons in his closet. And if there ever was, I think my whole world would just fall apart. I cannot have this guy be like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's just awesome. And you're right. There's this something about the way his look is. It's trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the mustache adds to it. You know, mm-hmm. it is just something that really just helps helps you believe in him. Whatever it is whatever he's got to say, or however way he does it, you're like, that's right. Cause he said it, it's gotta be true.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
He'd be a snake oil salesman. I'd be like, all right, how much is it gonna cost? All right, I'll write a check.
Yeah.
but yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. That's a great pick.
Thanks.
All right. So Scott, what is your favorite 1980s mustached man?
So as you guys know, through some messaging, I was really struggling with this whole Movember thing. I really didn't understand it. I didn't know much about it. I still don't really know too much about the real story of it, the details of it. But since we're trying to, you know, we're just talking about people with, from the 80s that have the mustache, that stand out in your head, you know?
Yeah.
And, I am also going a little off of the, he's not on this list. He's on another list I saw, but, which had like the top 40 or something like that mustaches.
Nice.
He's also a comedian. Well, basically. And, but Dave's not here. And that would be Cheech Marin.
Cheech Marin.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cheech is awesome. Great. He's got the beefy, beefy stash, you know, throughout the 80s in all of his, Cheech and Chong movies. And, you know, Tommy Chong had a nice little mustache and beard going too all the time. But Cheech's, man, that thing, that was, I think, in Born in East L.A.
Yeah.
Which was a really cheesy, bad movie. But, wow, you know.
Yeah. Born in East L.A.
Yeah, the video is pretty funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, Cheech Marin, yeah. I always thought he was just really funny with him and Tommy Chong, and he just he sports it, you know. He's got that that thing is giant.
Yeah.
It's no, you know, it's not like a Billy D. Williams stash.
Yeah, yeah, there's no pencil thin thing going on there. It's loud and proud is what that is.
I've always
been I'm a fan of their stuff, but I mean, I never really got into the the movement of, you know, like very pro drug kind of thing back in the 80s. I think it was I had this situation where I was hanging around with a bunch of police officers because my mom worked at the police department, and there's, you know, I got scared straight before I even did anything stupid. So I've had a very boring life, and for some reason the everything that came out, you know, that was kind of, I don't want to say praising drugs, I mean that wasn't exactly what was happening, it was just kind of you know, the movement of having fun with the culture of drugs. Mm. You know, it's just something that I never really subscribed to. So I know of Cheech and Chong, but I mean, I didn't really spend a lot of time watching their stuff. But I definitely like Cheech, and, you know, because I'm trying to remember the movie. It was, were they in Blackbeard? Or something along those lines? There was some movie that...
The two of them? Now, Cheech went on to do quite a few things.
Yeah.
So did Tommy Chong. They kind of went their own, their separate ways. And Cheech was in quite a few things. Cheech was in a... He was like in a police drama for a while. I can't remember what it was. I think that was... It might have been in the 90s.
Oh, Yellowbeard is what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were both in that. So I think I said Blackbeard, but I meant Yellowbeard.
Yeah, that was, no worries.
Yeah, definitely a stupid comedy.
I don't remember that one at all.
Yeah. It was definitely one of those. It had some, like, Marty Feldman in it, John Cleese, Peter Boyle, amongst others.
What year was that?
Oh, jeez. It had to be early 80s.
I will tell you, I'm on his IMDb page right now. Yellowbeard, yeah, 1983.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there it is. El Segundo.
Yeah, it's really just a comedic pirate movie. Yeah. It was a fun movie.
It was good Peter Cook in it, too. Oh, a lot of Brits, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got Madeleine Kahn's in it. Oh my gosh. No, I definitely have to see it.
I love Madeleine Kahn. She's hysterical.
Definitely.
All right. So, Cheech, where are you at with that, Rose?
Oh man, Cheech Marin. He's so many amazing movie appearances. Not even to mention, you know, the Cheech and Chong movies, of course, but besides that, just all of the really cool appearances that he's made.
He does a lot of cameos.
He does. And he does a lot of voiceovers, too. Yeah, he's a voiceover actor.
Yeah.
And
he was Buck the Dog in Married with Children.
That's really true. Yeah.
Let's see, where do I see
remember
it?
That.
I just saw it. Okay, go on. Go on, Rose.
No, it's funny. He was a stump in Fern Gully.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love Fern Gully.
He was Bonsai is in The Lion King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was, I think it was one of the hyenas.
Which one is that? Was that the Oh, is that when the hyenas?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Remember, because he was talking with, I think Whoopi Goldberg was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd, just, he'd say, Mufasa, say it again.
Yeah.
Mufasa. They'd start laughing. Yeah. He just, his, he was very talented. And just, I noticed that he's not sporting the mustache recently. But he just is a very talented actor and seems like a fairly nice person. Just all around nice guy. I know that, you know, everybody gets, not everybody, but you can't get into Hollywood for some reason unless you've got a shtick. And I know that, you know, probably a lot of the Up in Smoke, you know, the weed movies weren't really popular with a lot of people, but that was, you know, kind of their thing, and it resonated with a lot of people that smoke pot, I guess. I don't know. And it was just funny. I didn't
smoke pot. But, it was pot? But, I thought it was oregano.
Oh, or, man.
Or it might have been Labrador.
Labrador, yeah.
that's a reference to a movie, by the way. Up in Smoke. Opening scene.
Well done, Scott. Thank you.
So,
I liked him in Tin Cup.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't see Tin Cup.
So the police drama I was mentioning, I was right. I could not remember it, but it's actually with Don Johnson, Nash Bridges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For like 122 episodes.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
He was not sporting a mustache in that one, though, during the show.
Ah, okay. Well, they probably needed a cleaner look for him.
Yeah, for he's an inspector.
Mm-hmm.
Although, Joe. Tom Selleck doesn't need to clean up his mustache to be a police chief or whatever he plays.
Police commissioner.
Commissioner in Blue Blood.
Yeah, yep.
I don't know. He just looks too weird without a mustache.
Tom Selleck? Or
I don't think
Cheech
I've
Marin?
Ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen Tom Selleck without a mustache.
I don't think. I don't think the skin of his upper lip has seen the sun in 40 years.
There's some point when I saw him without one, and I went, "Ah, Gary, put it back on."
So I know that we all picked. We picked three different ones, and none of us picked Tom Selleck. Did you mention him in the 70s at all, Dave?
I did not, no.
Okay, so I'm going to have to say Tom Selleck throws down the baddest mustache of all time.
Yeah, he does.
He holds...
And he's actually number one on the list.
He really is. And we all have our ideas of, you know, certain things that click with us, you know, or whatever. Like, you like Rufus, and I like Cheech, and then you got Wilford Brimley, and they're all three very great, awesome mustaches and actors. But Tom Selleck is he's got a badass mustache, and I don't think anybody can ever take that away from him.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Freddie Mercury had a pretty good one too.
Let's do this. Which one beats? Which mustache is better, Tom Selleck or Burt Reynolds?
Ooh.
That'll tell you the king right there.
Well,
okay. So
I
think Selleck was heavier, more heavy exposure in the 80s and past than Burt Reynolds. Right. I think Burt Reynolds kind of was, he was more 70s, even though
I'm jumping over the decade line here.
I don't know.
So if you had to compare 70s Burt Reynolds to 80s Tom Selleck for King of the Mustaches.
Okay, I'm looking at them side by side here.
Who would get your vote?
Oh, they both pull it off very well.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say Geraldo Rivera.
go completely off script.
No. I'm going to stick with Tom Selleck as the king of the stash.
I'm going Team Burt. Okay. So, Rose, where are you at?
I'm with Team Burt.
Oh.
He had it first.
2-1.
Yeah. All right. course, we can't. Right. We cannot forget about Ron Burgundy either, because he was a legend. There are legends among.
Yeah, he just doesn't make the retro cut though.
Why? It's the 70s.
It's non-existent.
So we mentioned this before. There is the 8 greatest mustaches of the 80s as put out by People.com. And they had started their list number 8 with Geraldo.
Yeah.
And I think we mentioned him earlier. So he was rocking a good stash.
Yeah. Good porno stash.
Porn stash.
You notice you don't see Ron Perl. Ron, what's his name? Not Ron Perlman.
Burgundy?
No.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
The porn guy.
Oh, Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy.
Oh, he is. Yeah. He's on one of the lists.
Oh, he's not on this one, though.
No, he was on another one that I saw, like, top 20 or something.
I'm glad, because he's, yeah, he had to be. There's just no way.
Had to bring up Ron Jeremy, do we? Number 7, Hulk Hogan.
I didn't like that. His mustache was too thin.
Really? Well, he kind of had the handlebar thing going down, right? So,
he had the Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
And that was another one of those things where, you know, I loved him back in the 80s, but because his latter day sins have kind of caused me not to like him as much. Because of, you know, I've gotten to know a little bit of how he thinks, I'm just not on board anymore.
No. Yeah, he's a bit of a perv.
Yeah.
Put it mildly.
So number 6, Lionel Richie. Hello?
Is it me you're looking
for? Yep.
Hello?
Hello, is it my mustache comb you're looking for? Because it's buried in my fro somewhere.
He's got it attached. Pick on one.
I love Lionel Richie. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
Just got some great songs, and they're so iconic for the 80s. And you know, it's me dancing on the ceiling. So,
yeah.
Let's see, number 5 we already talked about. That's Wilford Brimley. And then my scroll is like really slow. Number 4, Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming because I don't remember ever watching Jeopardy in the
80s.
Yeah.
Everybody watched Jeopardy in the 80s.
So yeah, I did not.
Duly noted.
I watched Cheech and Chong.
I'm just going to tell you what.
I had tons of oregano. Tons.
Tons of oregano. I thought you were going to say you watched, what's that one with the chick that turns the letters around?
I believe it's Forbidden Zone.
Yeah.
No.
Never mind.
No, that would be...
Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune,
yeah.
Vanna White.
Yeah, Vanna White, thank you.
Okay, go on, number 3.
Number 3, John Oates.
Yes.
Nice. Yes.
He's got not a bad stash. It like actually matches his hair and everything.
Yeah, his I don't know, is he rocking kind of the same thing as Lionel was?
Similar. I think Lionel's was a little more trim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so then we're going number 2, Freddie Mercury.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah, we have that movie's out now, isn't it?
Yes. It's done a lot better than they thought it was. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my wife wants to go see it. I want to go see it too. Chrissy never wants to go see movies. She just doesn't have the patience to sit and watch 2 hours. You know, she gets bored easily. You know, because she's smart. She's smart and all. So,
my granddaughter and I went to go see the Nutcracker on Friday.
Is that any good?
It was actually really good. Spoiler alert for those of you who are listening. if you're expecting all of the ballet dances to go with the Nutcracker Suite, you will be sorely disappointed. They had one dance. And here I am expecting all, you know, like the Russian tea dance and March of the Soldiers and the flowers and the snowflakes. But it was more of a storyline thing. So you know how Disney has to be with their shit. So they're going to monopolize. This is my movie and I'll do it any kind of way I want to.
So spoiler, those going to see the Nutcracker don't expect ballet.
Yes.
Then I'm in.
It's actually pretty good. I enjoyed it. Lots of imagery.
Ballet dancers are phenomenal athletes, and I don't mean to by any means.
No.
They're amazing. They have such amazing strength in their legs that you just can't believe. I don't appreciate the dance style that much, but I respect them for their strength and abilities and talent. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So who's number two? Who does number two work for?
Yeah, they're no breaking Electric Boogaloo, that's for damn sure. No, we already did number two.
Oh, that was
two.
Number two?
Ready.
Yeah.
And
Freddie Mercury,
so
number two.
Who's number one?
And number one, we know Tom Selleck.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I found another list that's got some really great ones that we should do an honorable mention real quick if you want.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Weird freaking Al.
Oh my god.
Wow, how come he didn't make this list?
Yeah. I know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this is somebody that a lot of people might not know, but Gene Shalit.
Yes.
Dude's got a stash.
Holy, he's got like stash on steroids.
Yes.
Big, and to match his hair.
And a nice big fro too going on.
Yeah.
I already mentioned Billy Dee.
Oh, Gene Shell. Okay, now I know who he is.
Yeah.
Yep. I had to look him up.
Mario!
Mario Brothers.
Mario, yeah.
And this is one that I really wish I would have come across earlier, because this is just damn funny, is the Swedish Chef from The Muppets.
Mickey Borky Borky.
on this list, the Swedish Chef made number 7, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Not even
that's
real.
Definitely.
Cindy, there's Mario, but it's still.
And I totally missed this one. Now, we were talking mostly movies and TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or movies or TV or whatever. Last year, I was up in Chicago in October. And we were up there for a 5K, which never happened, but it was the Ditka Dash. And
yes.
And wow. part of the swag that they encourage you to wear during the race was the shades, a shirt that looked like his sweater vest.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
You know, it had like the print of the sweater vest on there with the tie. Uh-huh. And you got a fake mustache. So
sweet.
Yes. And so that's another great one. Ditka.
Yeah.
Ditka stash. Anyway, I shall turn the soap back over to you guys since I've been monopolizing.
No, that's some good honorable mentions. I'm glad you brought those up.
That's amazing honorable mention.
Rose, did you have any?
No, actually, I was just kind of riding a coattail.
Okay, very good.
For Scott there. So that was massively wonderful. Thank you, Scott.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
All right, so as we wrap up this discussion, just a reminder again that Movember.com, they have a links to donate, but we're also I created a team thing called Retro Club on their website.
Uh-huh.
So we can go to our BonsaiRetroClub.com. You have a link to it, and you get to our team area, and you can add a donation there. So what you're doing is you're helping Movember.com And what they do is they're helping specifically around men's health and awareness. And the areas that they're focused on is suicide prevention, prostate cancer, and testicular cancer. So once again, with prostate cancer, that's what I was focusing on for this episode, to just bringing up that, as I said earlier, prostate cancer is the second most common cancer of men in the U.S., and 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime in the U.S. So please do go out to our website and follow that link, and if you have the means, please donate.
And guess who will be 51 in a couple months, who still needs to go and get all that stuff checked out?
Oh, you gotta get, yeah, you gotta get that stuff checked, man.
Yep. Yeah. Time for the old camera up the hoo-ha.
Yeah, yep.
Too.
Yep.
We just had a surprise birthday party for a friend of ours, and she just turned 50. And she's always making fun that she's younger than us, you know, just by seven months.
Like
9 months for me. And, you know, she's like, oh, I'm younger. So we really laid into her party. We threw a surprise party. We really laid into her party with the old thing, the old theme, you know, getting old.
Nice.
And we actually had a colonoscopy station set up in the house. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I have a camera that's, that you look into drywall. You know, you look into walls, it's got about a 24 inch tube on it, or, you know, flexible camera on it with a little tiny camera on the end. And it shows it on the screen in front of you. You know, and it goes in the wall, and we had that set up there next to all the other stuff, like, handy wipes and, whatever. There's a bunch of stuff. It's funny. So anyway, colonoscopies, proctology exams for guys.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Very, very important.
Very, very.
Yeah, they don't call those anymore. Proctologists.
Proctologists. What are they?
I don't know.
Urologists?
Sure. That has to do with urology, I believe.
I mean, it's in the same general.
Well, yeah, but you just don't hear it. You know, you don't hear it as much like you used to, like, back in the day. Like, all the comedians, they knew if they wanted to get a laugh, all they'd say, so I was at my proctologist the other day. And, you know, right. You automatically knew that was the camera up the hoo-ha.
Right.
So, but yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, as long as you're not, like, bending over and, you know, singing Moon River.
Moon River!
Using the whole fist, Doc?
Well, you up to the elbow on that one, Doc?
All right, so wrapping this up, I just, because I have that link on the website, that's what I want everybody to do, is go to the website and do that. The other thing is, you know, our links on following our social media, so that's on Twitter, Tumblr, all that kind of good jazz. So we'll forego all the other stuff that we want you to do, because I want you to concentrate on Movember. With that, I just want to remind everybody to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye.
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. Bye. Good call.
Good night.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, there you go.
Hey, Bonsai!
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 You guys.
All right, so we're ready for 90s?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let me close the screen that has Gene Shalit, because he's kind of scaring me.
That's kind of crazy looking. I'm going back to the same.
He's no Bob Ross. I'll tell you that.
He's no Bob Ross.
Oh my gosh. No. Lord bless him.